Good morning. My name is Daniel Shear, and it has been my pleasure to serve as the sophomore class chaplain. And if you have a copy of God's word, would you just please turn with me to Matthew 11, 25 through 30? So there are a couple of phrases that we as college students like to use a lot, such as, I'm a broke college student. I don't have money to go to Taco Bell or Walmart. Or 8 a.m. classes are way too early. I need more sleep. I'm tired. I'm so busy. I have so much homework, and these projects are taking way longer than I expected. And these are valid concerns. But our solutions to these problems that I find myself having are simply, I need a nap. Or I need to pull an all-nighter. I need more caffeine. I need to just work on my homework last minute so I can get it done fast. Even if you haven't found yourself thinking these things, I'm sure we have all thought that if we just had more time, more rest, less homework, less stress, if our situations could just change a little bit, then everything would be okay. If all of my classes just didn't assign all of their major projects at the same time, then I wouldn't have to feel this stressed. I wouldn't have to feel this tired. In times like these, we can get tempted to put off our time in the Word, thinking, well, God understands that I need sleep, so I can go to bed without spending time with Him. God wants me to get good grades, so He understands if I skip church so I can study for my exam on Monday. Or I can get to God later. This is just the season of life I'm in. The passage this morning is about how to find rest for your souls. Come and take and find rest. Again, if you haven't turned there already, we're going to be reading from Matthew 11, 25 through 30. It says, at that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Oh God, we come to you as little children. We have no wisdom and no good apart from you. Would you encourage those who are burdened, who are labored and heavily laden? And may we find rest in you, not turning to anything else, but may we turn to you and to your word. May we learn from you and glorify you. May we glorify you and enjoy you. Again, we come as children. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of your law. In your name I pray, amen. Today, I just want to hone in on and focus on the call to come and take. And I want to show how coming to Jesus and taking his yoke and learning from him leads to rest for your souls. Jesus promises rest two times in this passage. The first is preceded by the call to come, and the second is preceded by the call to take and learn. And so I just want to walk us through these points. Come to the King. Come as children. Come with your burdens. Come and take. Take and rest. And so first, come to the King. The passage opens in verse 25 with Jesus saying, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding, and you have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Father except no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. To begin, I want to point out that Jesus is claiming to be equal with the Father. We see this in a couple ways. First, we see this in the Father is active in hiding and revealing, but then we also see the Son active in revealing in verse 27. We see that the Father is Lord of heaven and earth, but the Father has handed over all things to the Son, and so that all the Father has belongs to the Son. We also see that no one knows the Father except the Son, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And so there's this personal relation between the two, the Father and the Son, that no one else has. And it is from this authority with the Father that Jesus says, "Come to me." It's astonishing that the Lord of heaven and earth would take an interest in us and call us to come. Just thinking about who he is as king should provide us with enough reason to come to him. But the call is even more shocking because it's not a command. It's an open invitation. The Son, who is equal with the Father, does not command us to come, but he pleads with us. Not only is Jesus equal with the Father as well, but throughout Matthew's gospel, he argues for the fact that Jesus himself is king. And yet, he is gentle and lowly of heart. We are coming to the Lord of heaven and earth, but the invitation is open to all. Not as one of the ways that we can find rest, but Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus says. But if you are looking for rest, if you are seeking to be satisfied, look to Jesus. What does it mean to come to Jesus? Well, the times that I realize that I have need are the times that I go for help. So if I'm hungry, I go to places that have food so I can be filled. When I'm thirsty, I fill up my water bottle so I can quench my thirst. When I'm sleepy, I go to my bed so I can rest. When I am busy, I go to the library so that I can get my work done productively. We all have particular places that we go to meet particular needs. But God, the Lord of heaven and earth, is able to meet every need. When I realize that he is king over everything and that he is the one who calls me to come to him, he actually has the authority and the power to meet my needs. I've heard it said that we're not to give God just a part of our lives, even if it's the biggest part, say 90%. Instead, we must give him our whole lives. I think we understand this concept, but how can we give God our whole lives? Again, the moments that I realize that I'm in need are the moments I go to different places for help. But as I've been studying this passage, I've realized that I have nothing. I am desperately in need. I am extremely weak on my own. And so when I come to him with my whole life because there is not a single part or aspect to my life that I do not need him. I think we see this twice in this passage. First in verse 25, when the Father reveals himself to little children. And the second is in verse 28, when Jesus invites those who labor and are heavy laden. Children are needy. Those who are heavily laden are needy. And even if you turn back in your Bibles a page or two to Matthew 9, 11 through 13, it says, "And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?' But when he heard it, he said, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners.'" To come to our king, we must first recognize that we are needy. We are not the righteous turning to Jesus to impress him. Rather, we come to him with our burdens, our sin, our fears, our pain, our anxiety, our need. I come to Jesus because I am sick and in need of healing. I am blind and I need sight. I am lame and I desire to walk. I am unclean, but Jesus can make me clean. I am a sinner and I am in need of his forgiveness. God has the authority and power to help us in our need. So we must come to our King. No one else can meet these needs. No one else can give us rest. And this leads into the next point. Come as children. When I think about the times where I have authorities who have called me to come, my first thought is, what have I done wrong? I can think of a particular time when I was working at Chick-fil-A and my manager came to me and said that my boss wanted to see me in his office. And immediately, thoughts kept swirling in my mind, like, did I show up to work late? Did I say something wrong to a customer and they called back and told my boss? Or did I spend too much money on my employee meal? Like, what did I do wrong? When I heard that my boss wanted to see me, I was immediately full of fear and anxiety. This is not what this call should be leading us to. Instead, we are to come as children. There's a difference between the way we respond to the authority of a boss and the authority of a father and someone who genuinely loves us. So come as children, because the Father has hidden these things from the wise and understanding, but he has revealed them to little children. I don't remember this being true of myself per se, but there are times when young children venture to the top of a slide at a playground. But when they finally reach the top and they stand there and see the heights that they have reached and the treacherous journey that awaits them, they're gripped by fear and they are unable to go down the slide. But when their father trudges across down to the bottom of the slide and looks to his child and says, come to me, the child is set free from their fear. It may still take a couple moments of contemplation, but at last, the child musters up the courage to go down. They aren't afraid by the call from their father, but they are empowered by it. As a child, it was the authority of my dad that brought me comfort and peace. I completely trusted my dad. It didn't matter the fears I faced or the burdens I bore. I could come to my dad because I knew he could help me in my need. I was willing to come to him because I knew his love for me. I knew that he cared for my good. And I knew that he could do something about my problems. What did I do to deserve his love for me? Nothing. As a child, I never did anything to earn my dad's love. As a child, I had nothing to lose, but everything to gain when I came to and listened to my Father. Our Heavenly Father is Lord of heaven and earth, and Jesus is our mediator who reveals the Father to us. And it is his gracious will of the Father to hide these things from the wise and understanding, but he reveals them to little children. He reveals them to those who have nothing to lose, but everything to gain. The Son will show us the glory of God as we come to him, as we come to the cross as needy children. What a privilege it is to know the Father and the Son. I get to participate in knowing God, not because I'm someone so great, not because of my wisdom, but again, because I am a child to whom God has graciously revealed himself. I am nothing, but God is my everything. Third, come with your burdens. Are you burdened by the weight of your sin? Are you constantly controlled by anxiety? Have you surrendered yourself to sorrow? Are you relentlessly ruled by fear? Are you exhausted in your pursuit of just doing the right things? Well, Jesus says to you, come to me. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. Repent, turn away from your sins, confess them and come to Christ. If you are burdened by fear and anxiety and sorrow, bring them honestly to Jesus, and he is not afraid of our feelings, but he offers hope and rest and peace. The Father doesn't reveal these things to little children with the expectation that we have something to offer and that we're gonna bring something to the table. Jesus calls us to come with our burdens. He doesn't call people who have everything figured out, who think they are righteous and are healthy, but Jesus calls the weary and the burdened, the sick and the sinners. He calls us to come and find rest. Throughout Jesus' earthly ministry, people came to him with many burdens. So looking at chapter 11, verse 2, it says, "Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, 'Are you the one to come, or shall we look for another?' And Jesus answered them, 'Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised. The poor have good news to preach to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me.'" Jesus' ministry is defined by compassion. Jesus showed compassion to the crowds, compassion to the tax collectors and sinners. He demonstrated compassion to the outcasts and to the demon oppressed. He showed compassion to the sick, the blind, the lame, the deaf, and he will show compassion to you too. This compassion is founded on Jesus' character. He is gentle and lowly of heart. And you will find rest for your souls. This is a merciful and sympathetic compassion that seeks to offer to those who come and recognize their desperate need. And in this compassion, again, he calls us to come. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Come to your king as children with your burdens. Why? Because he will give you rest. How is this possible? Because he is a gentle and lowly of heart. He is a compassionate king. Where do you find yourself going with your burdens? Do you turn to Jesus? Or do you find yourself running away from your problems? Let us not turn to social media, to gaming, to our friends, to busyness as a means to find rest and escape from our burdens. John describes in his gospel that many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. And so Jesus asked the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" And Peter answers him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." We must not turn to anyone or anything else. It is only Jesus that we can find rest from our burdens. Come as you are. Charles Spurgeon says, "Come without money, come. Without merit, come. Without preparation, come. It is just, come, come now. Come as you are. Come with your burdens, come with your yoke, though the yoke be the yoke of the devil and the burden be the burden of sin. Yet come as you are and the promise shall be fulfilled to you. I will give you rest." The rest is not earned. It is a gift freely given to those who come. If we had come on our own, we would stand in fearful judgment. But we come with the hope of the cross and the kingdom of Christ in view. We come because Christ called. Fourth, we are to come and take. When we draw near with our burdens, we are to come and take. Let me read verses 28 through 30 again. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Jesus calls us first to come, but what are we to do when we come? We are to take his yoke upon us. For those who don't know what a yoke is, it was a tool used in farming to it's to help bind oxen, horses, or mules together in order to pull a load, such as a plow or a wagon. A yoke was used to make animals work in sync with one another so that one animal wouldn't be caused to work more than the other. It was a tool used to help the animals share the burden so that one of them wouldn't exhaust itself. This is shocking because Jesus calls us to take his yoke, and it was prohibited in Deuteronomy 22:10 for oxen and donkeys to be yoked together. This law was put in place as practical wisdom. And we get this. When doing a three-legged race, you want to pair people who have a similar height and strength and speed so that they're able to work together as efficiently as possible as they run in sync. If one person is significantly taller, faster, or stronger, then it actually slows the whole pair down significantly, and the taller, faster, stronger one ends up pulling their teammate across the whole race. And so in a similar way, it was necessary in the law for oxen to be yoked with oxen and donkeys to be yoked with donkeys so that they wouldn't work against each other, but they would be efficient and work in sync. But we have been called as little children to take the yoke of our king. Do you see why this is shocking? I think it makes sense for the son and the father to be yoked together, but how can the creator be yoked to his creature? It's because he has condescended and took on flesh. We can draw near because he drew near first. This is why the yoke is easy for us and the burden is light, because Christ will carry us along. It's as if we have been assigned a group project and we are paired with Jesus, who has already finished the work for us. And all we have to do is enjoy the fruit that he has done, the labor that he has completed and finished on the cross. All the burdens I have are his, and all that he has is mine. Jesus has taken my burdens of sins on the cross. And he rose again and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He offers hope amidst pain. He has unveiled our hearts so we may behold his glory. We are to live in sync with Christ as we take his yoke. We are to look to the life of Christ and imitate him. And we are not alone in our pursuit of imitating him, because he has given us his Spirit so that we may take his yoke and learn from him. So let us look to Christ, the founder and perfecter of our faith, and live in his example. And so finally, take and rest. I think we're all seeking rest. We all need rest. But what does it mean to rest? The idea of rest is not equivalent to sleeping. It isn't lounging on the couch and indulging in entertainment. True rest is not hanging out with friends or taking a homework break or playing sports. True rest is rest for your soul. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I will give you rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So what does rest for your souls look like? It is the assurance and hope that we can find in Christ. Christ is true rest because he is true joy, true assurance, true fulfillment. There is no shame when we turn to come to him. There no longer remains any guilt for sin because Jesus has taken that for us upon the cross. He defeated death, conquered sin, and now he made a way for us to come to him. We are When we encounter various troubles, we must come to Jesus and take his yoke, subjecting ourselves to live in sync with Christ. This is a joyous thing because we get to live yoked to our Savior and our God. Those who are in Christ receive every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Not one of them has been withheld from us. So it doesn't look like everything getting better. My circumstances may not change. My feelings may not go away. My temptations may remain, but rest for my soul is found in the promise of the gospel. Again, we may be burdened by many difficult things, personal sin, feelings of hopelessness and worthlessness, medical issues, frustrations with family and friends, stress, fear, and worry. But when we look to what Christ did on the cross, we can rest assured, knowing the length and pain that he was willing to endure, that when he called us to come and give us rest, he will give us rest. The yoke was made possible through the cross and resurrection. So what is keeping us from coming to him with our burdens? Are we satisfied with our temporary, hollow, empty solutions to our problems, such as taking a nap or getting an extension on assignment, consuming more caffeine or skipping church to study for exams and putting off time in his word? Paul admits in 2 Corinthians over and over again that he has faced many persecutions during his lifetime. And that in this body, though he groans, he's longing to put on this heavenly body, this heavenly dwelling. And still, there will be a day when there is no more tears and no more pain. But it is for this reason that we must proclaim the gospel of the kingdom and come all the more. Are you willing to surrender your circumstances to the Savior? Commit yourself to Christ. Bring your burdens and bear his yoke. For he is gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Now the band is gonna play one last song, and we're gonna ask that you to remain seated for the song and reflect on this call to come and take. The promise offered to us is sure. We will find rest for our souls.